Real Estate Coaching Radio, America's number one trusted resource for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Starring award-winning real estate coaches Tim and Julie Harris. Get ready for unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what is truly working to get you into action and make you money in this new real estate boom. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
We're joined today by Dawn Ganguly, the founder and CEO of Home Union, an online real estate investment management firm specializing in single-family rental investment properties for the individual investor. Dawn is an entrepreneur and expert in the acquisition and management of residential real estate. Prior to Home Union, he also founded Oracle Financial Services, originally Equinox, and NextGenix, a leading IT services firm. Dawn has a degree in engineering from the Indian Institute of Technology and an MBA from the Wharton School, where he has been a mentor. Dawn has been recognized for his leadership in the real estate sector. He was the 2015 recipient of the HousingWire Vanguard Award, which recognizes executives leading the housing economy. Now, let's welcome Dawn to the call as we join our host, Tim Harris.
So, Dawn, thank you very much for carving out some time to be with me and our hundreds of thousands at this point listeners. I really appreciate it. The service that you've offered, or the Home Union, is a really great idea. I heard about it from a CNBC story, and I immediately wanted our producers to reach out to you to get you on the show because I knew it was something that could be very impactful in a very positive way to all of our listeners. So thank you very much for coming up with the idea, implementing it, and thank you very much for being my co-host today.
Great to be here.
So let's just get to it. Let's tell them what Home Union is. You will describe it better than I ever will, so I'll just shut up and listen.
So, you know, we're an online real estate investment management company, and we help retail investors really invest out of their own backyard. And we do everything from, you know, using big data analytics to help them select the properties that match their financial preferences. We acquire the properties for them. We renovate it to what we call a Home Union Home Standard, which is, think of it as a pre-certified Lexus, which is a good destination for tenants. Once we renovate it, we get it rented. We take care of the property. We provide, you know, reporting that I think hasn't been quite seen in this industry. It's something that investors would find from their fidelity statements or places like that where, you know, we do sort of a wealth management integrated statement where investors might have properties in multiple areas and we consolidate those and provide that. And we even provide equity style, you know, market research. So if you're in Houston, once a quarter you're going to receive a report in Houston that's going to tell you whether property values are going up or down, and what's happening with the macro and micro economy. So you can make a decision whether to continue in Houston or buy more or sell what you have type of a thing, just like you would do with your stock or bond portfolio. And then, so the holy grail in real estate, which is liquidity, when you get ready to sell it, and, you know, we can work with local realtors and markets and help you sell that property or however you want to sell it. So it's a full cycle. We have, 110 million properties in our database, the entire single-family real estate database. Over 20 years of history, we have big data models. We have 200,000 neighborhoods. We rank neighborhoods and properties from an investment grade standpoint between yield and risk. So we calibrate these so investors can sort of use the same yardsticks they use in buying stocks or bonds. So what's the yield likely to be? What's the growth likely to be? What's the risk associated with it? How should I build a portfolio? So we've really taken a playbook out of, you know, the stock and bond market and put it into, real estate, which was all about, you know, let me buy this property in my backyard because I can't do anything else. So,
if you don't mind, Don, let me just drill down for the sake of our listeners because it's, you know, primarily boots on the ground agents and brokers. Guys, this is the reason I like Home Union specifically. The biggest challenge that all of us have as small investors is finding properties to buy, right? I mean, it just is a challenge. And if you're in California, like where Don is, or if you're even in Austin where I am, good luck finding a rental property that makes sense. Just doesn't. and very difficult to find unless you go quite a bit of ways from the central of the, you know, the center cities, and then, you know, you're dealing with maybe some B or C areas. But the moral of the story is what he allows you to do is you can look, you can essentially have a expert's level view of specific targeted markets around the country that they have identified as being the best, possibly some of the best rental markets. They've done the homework for you. So I'm thinking of all you guys in California, all the coaching clients in New York City, all the coaching clients in all these expensive areas who have never been able to buy real estate or never been able to find rental properties because the numbers didn't work out. And we've always told you, get out of your own backyard, and then you were hit with the, you know, the emotional response of how am I going to do it, who am I going to trust. Well, that's what Home Union is positioning themselves to be. And I personally have gone in there and played around with their investment calculators, and you guys should do that. It's very, very cool how it works. They also have very – the thing, Don, honestly, that I really liked about what you guys are doing as far as figuring out the projections is you kept everything really conservative. You weren't just throwing some big, ridiculous appreciation into the equation. As a matter of fact, reading your site, you're even kind of counseling people not to even have appreciation as being part of the equation deciding what to buy. It's more a focus on cash flow. So taking it from that perspective, listeners, you can personally – go to homeunion.com. And by the way, Don is not paying to be on this radio show. I genuinely like the service he's offering for you skeptics out there. So you can go to homeunion.com, and you can start looking at some of these hot real estate markets for rental properties that make sense for you. And they're a soup-to-nuts thing. They'll help you get financing. They'll go and identify properties. They'll fix up the properties. They'll inspect the properties. They'll lease the properties. They'll manage the properties. And you, like you said, I don't know of anyone else that's doing it at this level. For single-family homes, these types of services at this level are usually just for hedge funds, you know, the BlackRocks of the world that own, you know, thousands of units. So for you yourselves, listeners, I want you to have an open mind about this, but here's where it really gets exciting. You have customers, and Ron, I'm sorry, Don, let's just skip to that part where we're going to talk about how agents can directly benefit from working with you if it's not just for themselves, it's for the sake of actually, you know, doing transactions. So to bring them, let's go to that and tell how agents could do business with you.
Yeah, so let's look at two sides, right? Let's first look at the sell side of it, people who have listings. So one, you know, we have an engine that, you know, we're brokers in all the markets that we're in, so we have direct access to the MLSs. So we're not going out and buying a bunch of distressed properties and then, you know, bidding for them and bringing them in. We are actually, our investors are actually bidding for properties right off the MLS. So we have an underwriting engine that actually pulls the stuff out in the neighborhoods that we like, and then we curate it, and then we put it on the platform, and we list the agent who's listed it. So let's say you're an agent in Chicago or Atlanta, one of our markets, and you have a listed property. The relationship with Home Union is actually pretty good because we are the buy-side agent. We're not trying to, you know, we're trying to build a relationship with you where you know that we are going to bring you many, many, many qualified investors who are not going to bid under the market or, you know, some hedge fund type of a bid. We'll bid for a fair price if the market, you know, if the comps actually dictate that that's the price. And you know, so we are, you know, the difference between us and a homeowner that a realtor in a local market might sell to is we are sort of a gift that keeps on giving, right? Because we in that neighborhood will continue to buy as long as it makes economic sense. And the listing realtors have us as a very good long-term partner to be able to sell their listings in those neighborhoods. And so part of what we've tried to do is build a brand with the listing realtors for them to understand that we're not lowballing. If they work with us, we can continue to bring them a lot of business around those listings. So that's on the listing side. And we're also 80 to 90% of our business is really displaying the MLS in a curated way on our portal. So this is one other avenue for all the listing real estate agents out there. On the investor side,
understand what you said. Again, I'm thinking like an agent here. So if I'm in Chicago or if I'm in Atlanta and I've got properties that might make that I'd like you to consider putting on your portal because you're not just scraping the MLS in their local markets and throwing them all up there. I mean, I was on your website, and you guys do handpick the properties. You seem to handpick the properties where their overall numbers make the most sense. So if I'm an agent, I'm a listing agent, I have properties, and I want to put them for sale with you guys, how do I – let's close that gap.
So you don't need to do anything. If your property is listed on the MLS, we are a broker, so we have MLS access. If it meets our underwriting guidelines, then that property will be displayed on the Home Union portal. And if an investor, it fits an investor profile, then we'll come back to the agent saying, you know, here's a bid for your property to acquire it at this price. And our investors pre-authorize us for certain bid ranges. So in every market, we're not going back and forth. We exactly know what our, you know, from a financial standpoint, what range we can spend on based on our recommendation that we buy that property. So the transaction is a very quick one because we once we get an investor approval, they sign the documents, and then we sort of bid on their behalf with the listing agent. So the listing agent really doesn't have to do anything other than recognize that we are a serious buyer and that we will continue to bring more buyers to them. And
what
that
is
if their property... Go ahead.
Right. So, like, you're just, again, agents are going to ask these questions, and you're going to get emails if we don't answer them now. So if you have your own agents on the ground that are representing your investors in these individual markets, how does that work? Because Don, a realtor, is going to ask, how do I become one of your representatives in this, in these particular markets? Do you need any help? How can I get involved? That's what they're going to be asking themselves.
Yeah,
I promise
so today, you,
you
know, so on the buy side, we have our own agents that are Home Union employees in these markets. But, you know, we're looking at certain markets where we might, you know, create third-party agent relationships that would, you know, devote a certain amount of time to us to go do this. But, you know, our agents, so you understand, the ones that are Home Union employees just are not, you know, they're just not just sort of investor agents that are bringing a lead. They are also responsible for, you know, looking at those properties as they come up, validating the neighborhoods. In many cases, they walk a certain number of the properties, sort of which we call them pre-select. So we have more data on them when it comes into the portal. So they're sort of our eyes and ears and our boots on the ground in that particular market. They validate what the data is telling us, and so that's why we've chosen to you know, put them under our employment, because we need them to dedicate their time to, you know, one is to obviously fulfill the demand, but the other is to do these other things. Now, As the platform grows in each of these markets, it's highly possible that we'll have contractual relationships with agents, and then have them, you know, sort of do a set of tasks and allow them to earn the fees on the other end. But we're not quite there yet. But I think in the near future we could probably get there.
All right. So real loyalty. Let's talk about that.
So
the program,
that that's now on the buy side of the equation. Now you sort of. You just mentioned, you know, California and Austin. So if I'm a real estate agent in California and I just, you know, sold my client a, you know, $800,000-$900,000 home that they live in, and these are people that are good candidates for an investment property. So what we try to tell the realtors is the same thing you just said, is look, instead of trying to sell them an investment home in California, which doesn't really make sense from a yield standpoint, you know, bring them to the platform and let them deploy that money buying, you know, here's the deal. An $800,000 condo in Southern California rents for $3,500 maybe. That same $800 can be leveraged in four or five markets to buy five or six homes. The total rent could be upwards of $7,000 to $8,000. So the investor now has deployed the same amount of money, is more diversified, is not, you know, dependent on one tenant, and is getting about 2 to 3x the rent that he was getting, and he's not only dependent on appreciation or growth, which is what California investments are. It's a dubious sort of proposition. So what we try to tell these agents is, look, if you bring that investor to the platform, we give you a real loyalty code, and you earn a referral commission on this investor for whatever they buy for, you know, as long as they buy it. So the real loyalty code is attached to that particular realtor that's bringing in their investor, and it is attached to that particular investor. So anything that that investor does, even, you know, 2-3 years down the line, that realtor will continue to get paid on any investments that the investor makes. So let's cover there.
That's really powerful.
Yeah.
Listeners, I hope you guys got that. And he just pieced it together perfectly, but the bottom line is this is really a cool widget you could be offering to your clients that, you know, for the time being, your competitors won't know about. And he kind of painted a scenario where this particular buyer, but the reality of it is, and Don, we can talk about your typical customers, but the reality of it is there's very few people that wouldn't benefit from having investment properties. In uncertain times and times where there might be inflation and all the rest of it, there's very few people that don't want cash flow from a rental property. So you really could have an opportunity to expose your entire center of influence and past client list to Home Union, and then if they decide to do business, then you'll get referral fees from that. That's exciting. And those of you who are creative are already having your wheels spin and figuring out ways that you can integrate Home Union maybe into one of your additional services that you offer, if for the very least, the reference, the referral. So let's, if you don't mind, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about that last point, or do you want to pivot and talk about customers, the typical customer?
No, I think the one thing I want to say is that, often realtors or real estate agents are very tuned to selling in their own patch. And what happens is, if they have that investor, they're looking to sell that investor something else in their own patch. And I think by trying to do that, the probability of an investment property somewhat reduces. And so I think this also requires a level of thinking to say, look, if I brought this investor to Home Union, they would probably buy a lot more over time than I could sell them in one home in my own backyard. And we can sort of pivot to customers from there, because most of our clients are in expensive areas where they can't buy in their own backyards. And most of them are what I would call mass affluent people. So they have plenty of capacity. They can do lots of it. But on the other hand, you saw the CNBC piece that was aired last Friday. They highlighted one of our 24-year-old engineers out of New York City. And, he's bought three properties. Now, this is a good example of someone who lives in New York City is renting. So even realtors that have helped people rent, and he believes in real estate, and he's out there building a portfolio. And I sort of wish I'd started doing it at that age, because the point is, if you can keep buying some of these every few years, by the time, 20 years pass, all of a sudden you've got a portfolio of properties that give you $10,000 to $15,000 a month, and you don't need, any of the government incentives or anything else for you to retire. I mean, you've got a pretty darn good cash flow, and it's pretty diversified, so any non-performance here or there is taken care of by others. So lots of people, even at young ages, tech entrepreneurs, people in, decent jobs are looking at this to say, hey, can I buy 1 to 2 a year and over a period of time do this? Then there are people buying from their IRAs, their retirees that are looking for, income and that they're not getting from, stocks and bonds today. And then there's everything in between. There are wealthy people who want to diversify from the market. There are people, families that don't want to put all their eggs in the stock market basket. And the other thing I remember here is that, if you're in California or New York, the price to pay for a local property is $600,000, $700,000. I mean, it's a pretty darn big number to get started with on one unit. The investment properties range from $100,000, $125,000 to $250,000. So it's a much more manageable chunk. They need $40,000 or so to play. The government, Fannie and Freddie, insure loans. You can buy up to 10 investment properties, including your own, so 9 if you own a home, or 10 otherwise. So you can buy 10 investment properties and juice up that investment with leverage, which nobody's giving you money to go buy Apple stock. And so that's another X factor, and that's why we set up a Home Union lending brokerage arm, because 75 to 80% of the customers leverage. And we want to make that easy for them. So
you said a couple things I think it's worth drilling down on. First of all, you said it's important that I'm putting my real estate brain and my broker brain on, and I know how these guys are thinking. They're going to have a natural, they have a high level of comfort in their own real estate markets and a decreasing level of comfort as soon as they go outside their immediate markets. And what you guys have done is you've done a great job of figuring out where the best markets are to invest. And when I say best, I'm putting finger quotes around that, because best is not, you're not, and this is important for the California and New York people, I guess is what I'm trying to drill down on here. Best is not taking into consideration as one of the prime factors hypothetical appreciation. You kind of touched on that a second ago when you were talking about California properties as an example. That meant that's a paradigm shift for a lot of coastal folks who have basically, been riding the appreciation wave for a long time. But the reality of it is that some of the best properties appreciate the least, but they have cash flow. So can you talk about that mindset shift? Because you must run into that a lot with trying to get people to wrap their minds around buying
and
say.
Yeah, it's really you know, classic because, you know, we, for example, we've got right now, I mean, this is very classic. We've got an investor in the Bay Area that owns some properties in San Jose and San Francisco, and he happens to own apartments where he's seeing rents go down in some of these areas because of the overbuilding and so on and so forth. And so when they have that, their whole feel is, I got too much exposure that's just based on growth. I want to diversify and get some yield play and get into other markets around the country rather than hold a bunch of stuff that I'm waiting for it to double in price at some point. So, you know, it's a sign, actually, of how much affinity people have to real estate. Because living in San Francisco, the person wants to invest in real estate, but they don't have any other easy way to go outside the Bay Area. So they're out really investing in their backyard, and all their backyard offers is really, you know, some potential growth in the coming years, hoping that the Silicon Valley boom continues. And they all realize that that's somewhat risky to put all their money in. So it's not the mentality is growth. It's the mentality becomes growth because the money is on the coasts and in a lot of these major cities, and those cities don't have anything other than growth. So they're forced to just, you know, do that as their investment thesis. Now, when we come to them, a lot of people will say, gee, I wish I'd known you guys 3 years ago. I bought these, you know, two homes, like you said you had in Laguna Beach, and that are not doing great. I'm upside down in my payment. I hope these go up in price. And I would not have bought this. I would have bought stuff elsewhere. So I think they get it once they see what's available. I mean, people living in California and New York don't understand that you can get a $125,000, $130,000, three-bedroom, two-bath home in a middle-class neighborhood in Atlanta or Chicago. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, they don't. That right there is stunning to people on the coast. You know that, right?
It is.
They don't get
completely
it.
Completely stunning.
Yeah.
And then the next question is, well, you know, is that like a slum or what is that? And then, you know, they look at the pictures, you know, they look at the neighborhoods, they look at this, they look at that, and, you know, it's sort of... living in California, they think, like, you know, that must not be a great neighborhood. And those are good neighborhoods with good working class people, you know, electrician, school mm-hmm. teacher, and that's our country. And so, you know, in fact, the coasts tend to be a little bit of a bubble. And so when they look at that, they say, wow, so I buy four or five of those properties instead of buying one in my own backyard. And that's really the thesis.
Well, a lot of coaching clients come to us, and they're kind of like trying to decide. These guys are small business owners, entrepreneurs. That's really what a real estate broker, but even a real estate agent is. They're 1099 employees, so they really are entrepreneurs at their heart, whether they realize it or not. And one of the things we try to help them focus in on is basically the whole point of being your own business is to create, you know, freedom and all the rest of it, but really is to produce enough net profit so that profit can be put to work in things like rental properties, so that, you know, the definition of rich being where your money works for you and you no longer work for your money. And, you know, this is taking this thinking to a different level, because now if you're in one of those markets where you can't really find stuff in your own area, even maybe a couple states over, Home Union can put you into North Carolina. Home Union can put you into Indianapolis or all the, you know, certain Cleveland markets and Atlanta and all these types of things. And listen to what Don said. It was very interesting. He said you want to have a diversified approach, just like you do with, you know, typical traditional stock market securities, to your real estate. You want to have a couple properties here, a couple properties there. Now, I know, again, thinking like agents do, you guys are fearful of that because how am I going to manage it? Who's going to deal with this, that, the other? Home Union does. That's part of their investment portfolio and prospectus when they send you, you know, you say, I want to invest this amount of money. I have, you know, this is the return I'm looking for. And then they send you a portfolio of properties that they've hand selected for you, and you go through them and you can kind of like, you'll start seeing the numbers make sense. So it's really kind of a done-for-you, soup-to-nuts scenario, which is exciting because, like I said, I don't know if anyone else has done that outside of, say, you know, the services offered to hedge funds.
I want to say I just want to say there's a ton of technology that works there, right? So when, you know, the difference between this model and walking a bunch of neighborhoods because, you know, the investor can't walk the neighborhoods is you know, building sort of an intelligent asset recommendation engine, which is what we have, right? So if the investor gives us their parameters, you know, are they looking for growth, yield, or something in between? What's their risk orientation? How much they want to invest? You know, whether they have preferences of age of house or you know, certain cities. you know, the recommendation engine actually goes out into our curated inventory and creates a set of automated portfolios for the investors. So investors, if they say, I want to invest $200,000, then, you know, there's a set of portfolios that show up with leverage that if you go to the site, you'll be able to see it if you register, that deploy that $200,000 with a set of properties in different locations. And we have a ton of levers at the back end to allow them, you know, to sort of mix and match and choose and put this on their watch list and then bid for these properties. Now, the difference here is that we provide a ton of research on the property and on the neighborhoods. So the one way to de-risk something remote is to have investors come in. They can, you know, look at Google Maps, pictures of the properties. They can look at a detailed financial profile. They can look at a profile of the renters, where people work, the demographics, you know, if there are Starbucks, hospitals, Walmart, you know, whatever is in the, you know, the school districts. So they can get comfortable much quicker because there's a compilation of data that's available. And unlike Zillow, our data is targeted towards investment, not towards homeowning. So everything we provide, and that's one of the things we have to sensitize investors about, is you're not going to live in this house. Think of this objectively as an investment, and a good shelter for a good family that you're providing, because we're going to make all of these a home union home. So that's what gets them over the hump. It's not, again, that we're running around saying, isn't this a nice property in a listing? We are not a listing site. We are an investment site, so we don't, when the person comes in, we don't say, hey, here's a shiny property in Chicago, why don't you buy this? It's much more of, who are you? Why are you in real estate? Why do you want to invest? How much do you want to invest? What are your goals? What are your risk orientations? How do you see this progressing over time? And then taking those, feeding it into the engine, and properties might come out in Chicago, Atlanta, Raleigh, Charlotte, based on what they've said and what's available. We look at neighborhoods that maybe have too many rentals. We would turn that down in our admin engine, so we're not displaying properties from there because we don't want to take too long. So there are little things like that we do, or some place where we think the employment's not doing that great right now or something's going on, we may sort of turn it down. So there's lots of, you know, back-end technology that works to curate these real-time for the investors, and that's what we've spent a ton of money, 3 years doing, is building this technology that can take these curated assets and preference match to investors. So the realtors can benefit on both sides of this. Yeah.
Something else that's kind of interesting that enters into the equation is if you decide, like, okay, well, you know what? I heard Tim and Don talk about these particular areas. I know a realtor there, or I'm going to find a realtor there. I'm going to go just hunt my own stuff and figure it out all on my own. The problem you guys will fall back into on this and with that thinking is you're going to be subject to that particular agent's biases, which are similar to yours, where they're only going to basically be really high level of comfort with certain particular areas. Whereas if you go to Home Union, I don't know if they even give it. If you don't buy in North Carolina, they could care less. If you want to buy in Indiana, that's fine. If you prefer Atlanta, they don't. So whoever, when you're going through this process, you're not having to, you know, question the motives of the person who's on the other. You guys understand what I'm talking about. When Julie and I were selling real estate in Columbus, Ohio, and you said you wanted to buy a rental property, I promise you I'd have taken you to about three different zip codes because I had properties there and a high level of comfort with investing in that particular market. But if you wanted to invest in another part of town, I didn't know much about it, so I probably wasn't going to show you. You guys get the concept here? So this is a nice, interesting way to sort of have maybe a more, dare I say, less biased, more professional, filtered viewpoint of different prospective properties. There is nothing else, and you're the one with the Wharton MBA, so maybe you can correct me on this, but I don't know of any other investment that gives you hypothetical appreciation but depreciation on your taxes and cash flow. And those are the three things that really, that's the reason that when people, you know, when you look at the real estate, is almost always the best place to hold wealth long term. There's no doubt about that. And when you look at the idea, I love what he said, you can purchase enough properties at where eventually your money's working for you, you no longer have to work for your money. And now you guys have a direct, drilled down, boots on the ground, you know, access to some of the best markets in the country. So in the time that we have remaining, you know, there's something else I wanted to talk about. We don't really have enough time to talk about it, but maybe you could summarize it really quick. Why would owning investment properties be a bad idea? So what's the, like, if inflation rises, if interest rates rise, if all the rest of it rise, walk me through that scenario. So, like, worst case scenario happens in residential, and these guys own a bunch of rental properties. Walk me through what their worst case is.
So, you know, I mean, really, it's a pretty decent all-weather investment, right? So when interest rates rise, that just means the economy is doing well, employment's at full employment, wages are rising, which means rents rise, right? So if the rents rise, the cap rates improve. The other part about this is, you know, if the economy is doing well, there are more household formations, right? The new household formations had gone down for a couple of decades. It's coming back up. The new households would first tend to rent. So you also have rental demand there coming in. Interest rates rise, less people afford homes, more people want to rent. So it's actually a better deal for the rental economy. Now, the bad thing is if for some reason in certain neighborhoods certain events occur, then, you know, the prices could actually go down. So if you are holding that investment and you want to sell at that point in time, then you have a problem like any investment. But, you know, most of the people that do this as a long-term hold. They're not flippers. I mean, at least our investors are not flippers. So the people that will get hurt are, you know, people that are in a particular market and something happens, some big company pulls out. I mean, example is if Volkswagen were to pull out of Nashville, right? Then, you know, you've got issues like that. So if you got a big company pulling out, all of a sudden home prices drop and things like that happen, and now it takes some time to come back and revitalize. So that is the major risk. The other risk is when you're financing, if the interest rates rise and rents don't rise quickly enough, then you've got some cap rate compression in the short term if you're buying. But over the long haul, that should take care of itself. And the third big risk, obviously, is you buy in the wrong areas. And you see a lot of turnovers. You see tenants you know, screwing up properties, you see things like that could happen. So you've got to trust the data, make sure that the history you're looking at is fine, make sure that the tenant underwriting conditions are good. And honestly speaking, we've made those mistakes in early on. You know, we thought a neighborhood was this, it turned out to be that, and we had to dispose of properties for investors and help them out with some of their, you know, losses and things of that nature in some ways. So it's not an easy business. It took us 3 years to calibrate and get it to the right point. So getting it right is very important. And I think that's where the local realtor is absolutely critical, the local employee and their connections with the local realtors, because the data is telling you one thing, but, you know, is the market really that? I mean, I'll give you an example. Sometimes you have a great neighborhood, but you got to drive through a not-so-good neighborhood to get to the great neighborhood. It makes it a little more difficult to rent. We now have geocodes where if stuff is close to freeways, if they're close to railway lines, if the house is across from a cemetery, you know, we exclude those because those are a little more difficult and takes longer to rent. I mean, those are all learnings. Older houses in the Northeast and parts of the Midwest, pipes freeze. You got to allow for that, you know, and things of that nature. So there are lots of little gotchas that, you know, you can't learn going to business school or anywhere else. It's School of Hard Knocks on the street that teach you. And you know, those are learnings I think we've incorporated through some hard mistakes that I think we've root caused and corrected. But those are all things that investors doing it on their own could, you know, have a problem with.
So the best way for people to connect with Home Union is just to go to the website. And it's very, you know, elegant, simple to use, easy to understand. That's your homework, listeners. I want you to go to the Home Union website, check it out. Remember, if you're not ready to purchase investment properties, definitely have it as part of your real estate treasure map as far as your business plan. But remember, this is something you can also, you know, use for your customers, even folks that aren't necessarily in investment properties yet. With the right amount of information, chances are they'll want to be investment properties. Like I said, appreciation, depreciation, and cash flow, it's kind of a no-brainer. So there you go. Take action on that. Go to homeunion.com. Anything else you'd like to say to these guys as we wrap for today, Don?
No, I mean, I think, you know, this is really a good opportunity for realtors. I just want to say that, you know, it just requires a little shift in mindset to thinking that I'm going to sell that investment property in my own backyard. And if the realtors, I think the real estate agents who get that and make that mindset shift will see that, you know, they can get a much bigger wallet share of their particular customer because they're advocating the right thing for that customer versus trying to sell the product that they have. And that's not new. We all try to sell the product that we have. But in this case, you know, all real estate agents have an option to sell this product and make money off it. So it's just a shift in mindset. So I hope people look at it, understand it, and then reach out to us, and we're happy to help.
Well, we're, like I said before the show today, Julie and I are logged in talking to your investment guys and seeing if we can put together a portfolio that makes sense to us, and I am very impressed with how professional it's been. So, listeners, please follow through. Go to homeunion.com, check it out. Remember this show, write it down, go back, and when you're ready to purchase investment properties, or a lot of you already have investment properties wanting to purchase more, have a more diversified portfolio, this is maybe the easiest path for you to get there. So, Don, listener, listen, on behalf of all of our listeners, I want to thank you for being my co-host today, and I really appreciate it. Thank you for putting this business together. It's exciting, and we'll definitely stay connected, because I think this is something that, as your business grows, you're going to maybe think of some new ways that realtors can be more directly involved. And, there's no smarter folks than our listeners, and I really appreciate it. So thanks, Don, for being
thank
my
you.
Co-host today. Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows, and until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.